host has spent decades studying the Bible in the original languages. He holds degrees from the University of Wisconsin, Moody Bible Institute, Asbury Theological Seminary, and Bethel Theological Seminary. With the help of some of his friends, in 1994, Dr. Rako founded a national volunteer ministry to hunters. He is an author, dog trainer, and speaker. Tom served as a full-time pastor for 36 years. Now here is your host, Dr. Tom Rako.
Thanks for joining us here on the Rockdove Publications Quill. During today's program, we're going to see that God often calls working people, people that are active. And maybe you're waiting for God to show you something, to direct you. Well, I think you'll be especially interested in today's program. You'll also be hearing a true story written by Dr. Kent R. Hunter of Church Doctor Ministries, and it's included in the book Hunting Miracles, Ancient and Modern. I hope that you enjoy today's program. Do you know that God calls and uses people that are often working? I have a young pointer that is always working. I love watching Ivory Arrow's smooth gait and pleasing profile, but most of all, I'm amazed at how she is always hunting, whether it is a field or forest. Even when she locks up on a bird and becomes like a statue, she is still working. She stands silently pointing toward an often unseen but clearly scented bird. The fact is, God seems to delight in picking working people for divine duties. In the Bible, we find that individuals God called or selected were often involved in a mundane task or running some errand. Take Moses, for example. Moses was on the backside of a desert, busy herding his father-in-law's sheep when the Lord spoke to him from a burning bush. You can read about that in Exodus chapter 3. Moses, though he was 80 years old, was called to lead the Hebrew multitude out of Egypt. For the next 40 years, he shepherded God's people in the wilderness. The names of various pharaohs, they've been forgotten. But Moses is still highly revered by Jews, Christians, and Muslims. Ruth was a widow and foreigner who went gleaning grain to provide for her mother-in-law Naomi and herself. She happened to end up in a field owned by an eligible bachelor named Boaz. As the old saying goes, big doors often swing on small hinges. Because of her gleaning grain, her relationship needs were eventually met, but they were initially sparked in an unlikely workplace. She occupies a prominent place in the biblical record. Ruth is the great-grandmother of King David, Ruth chapter 4, and is also listed in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 1, verses 5 to 6. Saul was searching for his father's wandering donkeys when he wound up coming to a town where he met Samuel the prophet. It was no accident. In accordance with the Lord's direction, Samuel anointed Saul to be the first king of Israel, 1 Samuel chapter 9 and 10. David was watching the sheep when Samuel came to select the next king. Despite his isolation, his father Jesse's lack of insight into David's potential, and Samuel's initial thoughts about who the Lord's pick was, David was anointed. You can read about that in 1 Samuel 16. Of course, the list goes on and on. Elisha was plowing with oxen when his important call came, 1 Kings 19:19. In the New Testament, some of those Jesus called his disciples were fishing. A couple others were occupied with mending their nets, Matthew 4, verses 18 to 22. Matthew himself was tied up collecting taxes when Jesus picked him for different duties, Matthew 9, 9. You know, it may seem reasonable to sit and wait for God to make a move in our life. But when we examine the Bible, we find that it's not the norm. Indeed, God seems more prone to pick working people. And so, friend, if you have been waiting for God to do something, I want to encourage you to pray, to read the scriptures, to do what you should be doing. The Apostle Paul said, if any man will not work, neither should he eat, that we are to be industrious. And ask God to guide us and direct us. And He will do that. If we are seeking His face and we want His will, He will carry that out. When we come back, we'll be looking at a hunting miracle.
Dr. Tom Rako has pulled together 60 hunting and angling devotionals. Every entry has a selected Bible passage to read and a story or personal experience tied into the scriptural point. Some of the titles for entries found in devotions for hunters and anglers include Buck Fever, The Antlered Doe, Catfish Corner, Barnyard Buck, Rabbit Hunt Romance, The Prodigal Pooch, A Case of Pheasant Forensics, Once in a Lifetime Moose Hunt, and Grin and Bear It. You don't have to hunt or fish to enjoy this book. It's a great read for anyone, young or old. To order your copy of Devotions for Hunters and Anglers by Dr. Tom Rako, go to the Rockdove Publications website, rockdove.com. Visit rockdove.com today.
Do you believe in miracles? Dr. Kent Hunter does. Dr. Kent, our hunter, is the founder of Church Doctor Ministries, and he served as a pastor in Michigan, Indiana, and South Australia. And Kent has consulted over 1,700 churches from 65 denominations, fellowships, and movements. He's trained pastors in 14 countries. He received his MDiv from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri, his PhD from the Lutheran School of Theology at Chicago, and the Doctor of Ministry degree from Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California. He's written over 30 books, and you can check him out at churchdoctorministries.com, churchdoctorministries.com. And this entry in Hunting Miracles, Ancient and Modern, written by Dr. Kent Hunter, is titled Hand in Hand. This is a story about Joe, deer hunter, and much more. This is about the episode in Joe's life where his young daughter, Maddie, came within an inch of dying or being paralyzed for life in one of my deer stands. Let me first tell you how we met. Joe is an active member of a large church in Bakersfield, California. His church asked me to consult them. It's what I do these days whenever I'm not hunting. I help churches become more effective in reaching their communities. For the consultation, Joe was chosen as a volunteer internal coordinator, the one who gets everything ready for my arrival when I conduct the on-site consultation visit. Joe and I became friends almost instantly. I also met his Christian partners in business, Paul and Ed. Joe, Paul, and Ed operate a business that provides valves to the oil industry. All three are avid hunters in the U.S. and Canada. Their faith is an integral part of everything they do together in their business and in their families. When I learned Joe liked to hunt, I invited him to come to Indiana for an annual opening weekend deer camp. I must admit the word camp might be misleading. We actually take over my house for the weekend. My wife, daughter, daughter-in-law, and two granddaughters have a weekend on their own. Our house becomes a hotel with people sleeping everywhere. The bedrooms and the couches, and sometimes people sleep on the floor. Every one of us looks forward to this hunting experience every year. God has blessed me to live on 215 acres of great northern Indiana hunting ground. Years ago, during the farm crisis, we bought a rundown, poorly operated farm that had no buildings. Over the years, we built a house and planted 62,000 hardwood trees for timber. It has become a certified tree farm. My wife has been a teacher in Christian school all of her life until she retired. During spring break, each year we planted trees. My wife is a former farm girl who works harder than most men her age at every age I've known her. Some years we ordered so many trees from the state nursery, we hired help. But each year for 10 days, no matter what the weather, we were out on the farm planting trees from daylight to dark. This is the miracle of creation regeneration. Over the years, the worn out and eroding fields have become a young forest. We planted thousands of walnut trees and likely have the largest population of red squirrels in the world. but we also planted four different species of oaks by the thousands. When the acorns start to drop, it's a whitetail banquet. Our trees are in the Sustainable Forest Program. We knew the day we planted the first tree they wouldn't mature for harvest in our lifetimes. But the whole farm is in a trust with our great Christian kids who are now adults. The trust stipulates that when the timber is sold, 50% goes to missions. This is another miracle. Every year we have a family meeting and our kids are as excited about missions as we are. They're going to be able to help missionaries reach lost people for God and impact lives for eternity. Our kids also know that, as a certified tree farm, it is a sustainable forest. For every tree that is timbered, at least one other tree must be planted forever. On the farm, there are a few good food plots, which we plant every year. It's a miracle paradise gift from God. Now about Joe and his miracle story. One summer, Joe and his family were vacationing in the Midwest. They arranged to stay with us for a few days. Joe was anxious to show his young girls the farm and tell of his deer stories. One day, Joe and his 10-year-old daughter, Maddie, went out to what we call the East Stand. He wanted to show her where he got his buck the year before. And to be honest, maybe plant a few seeds in Maddie to become a future deer hunter. The East Stand gets its name because it is east from the house, down a lane that winds around one of our young tree plantations with trees now 40 feet tall. The lane opens up onto a field planted in prairie grass. In front of the East Stand is a patch of clover. The stand is an old fence row from the days when the fence row separated two crop fields. I can never climb up there without thinking about all the events that occurred at just the right time in just the right way that we could live in a paradise like this. I know some people would call it luck. Not me. I know better. It's a miracle. Thank you, God. But that's not the only miracle connected to that beautiful setting of the East Stand. Joe walked Maddie out there. He said, "Do you think you can climb the ladder?" She enthusiastically responded, "I sure can." Joe said, "Okay, I'm going right behind you in case you slip. I'll catch you." Maddie started climbing one rung at a time. Joe continued right behind her. As she reached the top, she went to grab between the floorboards of the stand to pull herself onto the platform, but she missed and fell backward in an instant. Before Joe knew it, she was moving fast, head first, right toward the ground and right over his back. Joe had both hands on the sides of the rails of the ladder and, theoretically, he couldn't let go or he would fall. Nevertheless, as he felt Maddie's body passing quickly by his back, somehow Joe was able to reach out and grab her at the last second by the ankles. If you ask Joe how he was able to hold on to Maddie's ankles and not fall from the ladder himself, he will tell you, "I have no idea. It's impossible." A miracle? Joe is sure of it. So am I. I've often wondered what I would feel if a tragedy would have occurred. Would I ever hunt that stand again? Probably not. Would Joe ever be able to join us for a deer camp? Perhaps not. That split-second miracle had a lot at stake. Maddie's life, or paralysis for life, my relationship with Joe, my joy of deer hunting, my feelings about the farm. There is sometimes a lot at stake in the blink of an eye. Is God real? Does he protect you? Does he love you? Both Joe and I, and now young adult Maddie, believe he does. We believed it before the incident with Maddie, and we still believe it today. In Romans 8:28, the Bible says, "He, God's Spirit, knows us far better than we know ourselves." That is why we can be sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. The message. Some people don't believe in miracles. Some of us see miracles all over the place. The difference is not an issue about miracles. It's because we see through the eyes of faith. When we come back, I'll have some closing remarks.
The Quilted Arrow. home of intelligent, stylish English pointers with bloodline streams from Hall of Fame champion Guard Rail. If you have a desire to one day own a classy American-bred English pointer, the Quilted Arrow periodically has puppies available. Contact the Quilted Arrow to find out more. Or perhaps you already have a young pointer that needs help in becoming all they were meant to be. With a little investment, you can become your hunting partner's favorite trainer. There is a limited opportunity for hands-on coaching, but no worries. You can also schedule some personal FaceTime coaching. Again, if you have a strong interest in one day owning an American-bred English pointer, or want to take the next step in helping your bird dog be all that they were created to be, visit the Rockdove Publications website at rockdove.com. Don't delay. Visit rockdove.com today.
I wonder how often God has protected us or provided for us, and we were totally unaware that He was behind it, accomplishing His purposes. And we often just do not see those things. It's my prayer that myself and you, that we will see God's hand, His invisible hand, behind the ordinary things of life. Do you know that He is present? The Bible says that He is an ever-present help in distresses, that when we're going through difficulty, He's there. No matter what we may be facing, it may be scary to us, but deep down, we can know for certain that He's there. I think of how David said in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." He has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," Hebrews chapter 13. And God keeps His promise. And so, friend, I want to encourage you to ask God to open your eyes to see the miraculous. Maybe not just protection or provision, but just in the blessings of life, see God behind him. Even as Dr. Kenter talked about the farm that he had and the trees, there was a lot of hard work in there and a lot of commitment, but he recognizes that God has blessed him. And friend, God blesses us in all kinds of ways. In fact, the Apostle Paul said that, talking about God, that He has given to us life and breath and everything else. And so if you can hear this program right now, that is a blessing. My grandparents, my dad's parents were both deaf. You know, hearing is a blessing. Seeing is a blessing. Feeling and smelling and tasting is a blessing. And ultimately, all of these blessings go back to God. I hope that you enjoyed today's program. Hope that you'll join us again next time.
You've been listening to the Rock Dove Publications podcast with your host, Dr. Tom Rako. This program has also been brought to you by the Quilted Arrow, home of intelligent, stylish, field-bred English pointers with bloodline streams from Hall of Fame champion Guardrail. Thank you so much for listening. Now this is Beth Rako inviting you to join us again next time on the Rock Dove Publications podcast.